Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life. You know, over the holidays at Mom's house, I gained 2.9 pounds. I'm wondering how you did. We're going to talk turkey and more today. 1-800-229-3000. Join us.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I feel that I'm just there to fulfill his sexual needs.
Love does endure all things, but it doesn't enable all evil.
That's the big ugly. I was asking for the big ugly.
Women are thinking, if this doesn't work out, give me a call. But
first, you just try to stop. But if that's not working, then it's time to put out the white flag and say, I surrender. I can't get this done.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. They'll be coming in just a few minutes. But how did you do this holiday season? I'm wondering how you did over the Thanksgiving holidays. I tell you, my mom, she makes pumpkin pie, not with pumpkin out of the can, out of the real thing. Cooks the pumpkin down after stripping off the rind and all that stuff. And I tell you, I just went a little bit overboard there and had a great time, gained a little bit of weight. But you know what? This morning, I am back losing it for life again. You know, we talk about losing it for life, that if you just kind of plan a little weight gain during the holidays, and then you just get right back at it. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame.
Yeah, lose it for life doesn't mean stay all the way down for life. It means lose it enough and then gain it and then lose and gain it.
You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your ups and downs. The graph isn't going to be a flat line. And so anyway, if you are one of our loser for life people out there, anybody, you know, hey, and you did like I did, messed up a little bit there, just jump right back on the wagon and get things back in order. Give yourself a break.
But the vegetable wagon, not the pasta wagon.
Or the low-carb wagon. We're glad that you're with us here today. You know, this is December, and this is one of the greatest times of the year for us. We love December around here. We celebrate. It seems like we tell each other we love each other. We have parties. We tell each other we love each other more, I think, during this time of the year. We're grateful. And one of the things that you're going to get this holiday season is a letter from us telling you that Jesus is not the reason for the season.
Jesus is not the reason for the season.
Right. You know, you see that everywhere.
Right.
Jesus is not the reason for the season.
What's the reason for the season?
You.
Oh.
Huh? Huh?
Hey.
How about
that's
that?
Right.
It's true, though. Yeah, I was.
He had a plan.
Yeah. The thing that New Life has in common with this season is that New Life is about you, too. And if you're listening, the reason we're here is not because we want to hear ourselves on radio or because we think it's cool to have a radio show. We're here because of you. We love being here because of you. And those of you that support us, you help us reach the people we want to reach. It is so exciting, and I know you get this all the time, John, to go to a city we've never been to, talk to somebody we've never met, and they have been helped by this radio program because somebody told them to listen, they got counseling, they read a book, something in their life changed.
That's what the Bible says too, Steve. I always think when we go over that topic about 1 Peter 4, where he says that we are the stewards of his manifold grace. And so you get it from something you hear maybe on the radio or wherever, and then you reach out to somebody who's struggling, and they find answers, and then they help somebody, and the grace continues. So it's really great. We just love hearing about people in our listening family that are part of that grace continuum.
I have a great friend who listened to the show for years, and it's amazing the wisdom in that person from reading your books, hearing the radio program, the transformation that's occurred over time, producing a wise person, wise beyond age. And I think that's what our hope is, complete transformation for every person. We'll take a break and come right back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn. I want to take a moment to wish you a very Merry Christmas and extend my best wishes for God's blessing to you in the coming year. We are so honored to count you as part of our listening family, and we consider our relationship with you a gift from the Lord. You know, this is a season that fosters giving. We hold God's gift of Christ as our most precious, and we celebrate that by sharing with others. And it's during this year-end time that New Life Ministries receives much of the support needed to continue our outreach through the radio broadcasts, our Crisis Call Center, and other resources and programs. I'm asking you to consider helping underwrite this ministry with a special gift this month. If you've received any benefit from New Life or you believe others have, please join us in our efforts to communicate God's love, truth, and transforming power. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit newlife.com. Merry Christmas from all of us here at New Life Ministries.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live with Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We are thrilled that you've joined us today and hope that this December is leading
up. That's right. This is December.
To a great time. You know, I think this is do a New Year's resolution test. Act like this is the first of the year. Do a little test run. see how it goes. And then you can do the real thing.
Now, are we up or down on resolutions? All through my life, I've kind of had a love-hate relationship with them. But I like them now.
Yeah,
because I think I have them in the proper perspective.
Just don't make 20.
Right. And don't make them unfailable. That's
right.
The big part.
And like I tell people, don't make a resolution that you're going to read the Bible for an hour every day.
Yeah, two. I mean,
five minutes. Okay, and then you can exceed that, you know. Just shoot for the minimum thing and then beat that versus the big shot hour thing, and then you fall short of that. Those are the kind of things. Don't make a resolution to lose 30 pounds in a month. Just take 10 or 5.
Right.
And that kind of
thing. And understand, a resolution is a goal. It's not a requirement or a demand.
There you go.
You've got to get the law out of this and get the goal back in, which can be failed. But you're better off if you don't do it than if you don't do it.
The real resolution is to resolve the pain in your life so you don't have to experience it over and over again. Hey, we got 10 ways to beat the holiday blues. Those are free tips for you. And along that theme, we have 10 building blocks for a happy family. That's our resource. And if you support this ministry and help others experience a revolution or a resolution of pain and suffering, we send you Bill Butterworth's book, The Promise of the Second Wind. We all have that promise. God will give it to us. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Karen, calling us from New York, listens to WWDJ, one of the great places in the world to be, New York City, during Christmas. Hi, Karen. Welcome to New Life. Karen, are you there? Well, New York is busy. They have a lot of interference there, and looks like we're victims of that. Let's go to Janika, who's calling from Santa Rosa, California, KNDL. Hello, Janika.
Hello, it's Janika, actually.
Hello, Janika. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
Oh, we're glad that
you're my heroes.
Thank you so much.
Today I'm calling about my brother, who is 30 years old. He just turned 30 this month, and he is an alcoholic and a drug addict. And he's currently in jail. He's in and out of jail often, and it's usually for just brief times. And he hasn't been sentenced yet, but I'm wondering, he's called me and asked me to come visit him, and I'm not sure whether I should or not. I don't know. I'm kind of confused because I don't really want to condone his behavior, but at the same time, you know, he is my younger brother, and
Janika, who in your life, I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. Janika?
Jonica.
Oh, I did it
like
right.
Monica.
Jonica, who in your life told you that visiting someone who has been locked up in a prison cell?
Well, he's not prison. He's in jail.
Okay, a jail cell. Who ever told you that that could be ever construed as condoning?
Well,
I want to hear the message that you got that from.
I'm not sure where that came from, but it's just that because he is kind of a user, he's called me for money to pick him up, and he's done that to the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really taking any initiative to change his life and being in and out of jail, and, homeless and prostituting himself. It's just been horrible. And
yeah.
So it's like I want to take the opportunity while he's clean and sober to possibly talk to him, but at the same time I've confronted him about, possibly going into rehab before, and he's not really accept. He's still thinking he can do it on his own, and he doesn't want to spend the money.
Right, I understand. But Jonica, think about it this way. He needs something, right?
Right.
He is deceptive to himself and not taking responsibility, and B, he's in prison. There's some things that he can't control. And sometimes we are taught in various ways, family or whatever, that the message goes like this. I will be kind to you if you'll get your act together first. And that's not what God does. God provides certainly structure and certainly consequences, but he's also got the hand out so that a person, not in a rescuing way, but so that a person knows that you are for me, you are on my side, even though you don't condone that, you come to visit me. So if you're in a situation where he wants money for things he hasn't earned, sure, that's different. But to make a visit can only be good.
It's my issue because I'm afraid to open that door again because I have codependency issues.
Jonica, now you just hit the bell. Yeah. That's much, much more probably the case.
So
go and have a little talk with yourself or take somebody with you who, if you mm-hmm. fall into that codependency thing where you're promising things that are not helpful to him or whatever it is. But
then they gong you or
yeah,
they
yeah.
Or you talk to them in the car before you go or whatever, and they're your strength when you're afraid he's going to use you.
Or if it's just once you go and then you walk away, you feel so conflicted about the whole thing, then have plans to talk to somebody else. But, when Jim Baker was in jail, in the midst of, some people weren't even alive then, but you had Jim Jones in Ghana and Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. If your name was Jim, it was not a good time. But anyway, when Jim Baker was in jail, Billy Graham goes over there to visit him in prison. And I understand the first Sunday he was out of prison, he was sitting in church in the pew with Ruth and Billy in church because they really reached out to him.
Right.
And they reached out at him at a time when many people, like me, were, down on the guy.
Right.
Ridiculing the guy. Going, oh, man, what a rip, all that stuff. But they were offering the grace of Jesus. And that's what you do. That's the main thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great opportunity. I mean, you go visit somebody in jail, they will never ever forget that.
Yeah, Jonica, if you're concerned about, as we all are, about caving in and being used and all that and enabling and rescuing, it's a good thing to be concerned about it. But, if you've got to make a mistake,
right,
one way or the other, it's probably better to make the mistake on the grace side, especially if somebody's in jail.
Right.
Because they need something. The jail puts them in a position of being without and deprivation, and then they are more open to the love and the grace that comes that can get them out of prison than they would be otherwise.
Tell you what, if you give us, give us his address, we'll send him from you the promise of the second wind. I don't think you can give him a book, but the publisher or a ministry like this, I think they can send him a book. That'll be a great book for him. And we'll try to get him a copy of my book, The God of Second Chances. Focus on the Family was giving this away to prisoners. I don't know, because no one else wanted it. But I've gotten so many letters from people in prison saying, thank you for that book. And my mom, I was just at my mom's this weekend. For 15 years, she's been going to minister to young women in jail.
Mm.
It's just amazing what she does and says that it really does put her almost in heaven after being able to visit with those girls.
And what a time of year to visit a shut-in like that over the holidays.
Mm. We gotta get our kids together, John, and go do something like that. Yeah. That would be really good. All right, if you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. And if you need some help, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And by the way, this whole year, every month of giving was greater than the last month, other than November. And I don't know what happened in November. It seems like the economy's coming back, stocks are up, things are looking good. But we had a little dip in November. If you could help us make up for that, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? We really do need your support. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Diane. She's calling from Bowie, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hello, Diane.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I have your book. My question is about relationships, and I have your book.
Which book do you have?
I have your book, In My Mind, I'm Nervous. Okay.
In My Mind, I'm Nervous. No,
that's a good title.
Yeah, I like it.
No, that's not it. The book is Avoiding Mr. Wrong and Boundaries in Dating.
Well, that's a good combo.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. My question today is, I have a question about relationships. Should you continue to be in a relationship if you're not attracted to the person that you're dating?
Ever? Like from day one you weren't?
Day one, day two, 6 months later.
Uh-oh.
Why'd you go out with him? Generally speaking, dating's about going out with somebody you're attracted to see if you're right for each other. So some step got missed there. Why'd you go out in the first place?
Well, because he was a very nice guy, goes to my church, loves the Lord, helpful.
Those are attractive qualities.
You mean
you're not physically attracted to him?
I'm not physically attracted to him. However, I've been attracted to people that I haven't initially been physically attracted to, but it was something about that person that caused me to be attracted to them, whether it was their intelligence or something. And although I do like this person a lot, he has a lot of good qualities, there's still something there. I think one of the things that causes me to not be so attracted, he's very passive. I'm not aggressive, but I don't know if I'm attracted to men who are extremely passive. He's
Well, how passive is passive?
We went out for 6 months, and he just his demeanor is just, if he gave me a little hug, if it was half-heartedly, and then he would ask me so many questions, was that okay? Did I offend you? I mean, and things like that. And it's like, okay.
That's not really passive, Diane. That's more dependent. That's more dependent. A passive person, you'd have to call them.
Well, that took like 4 months just for that. And
you mean for him to kiss
you? Muster up the courage to just hug half-heartedly.
Okay, so he's a little, what we would call, aggressively conflicted.
And I'm in my 30s. I'm 33, and he's 37. And he still lives at home with his mom and dad.
Big, I'd say, yellow flags here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the greatest thing that you could do, this could be an amazing guy.
Yeah, I'm not ready to write this guy off at all.
But he's going to have to do some work before I would want you to move forward with him. But the greatest thing that you could do for him is to tell him what the yellow flags are in the relationship and see if you guys could develop a plan for him to address those.
I actually did. It got to a point where he became jealous over something. And the way he did it was to try to make it seem like something was, like I was contradicting myself as far as being saved or in the Lord by letting a friend's husband stay with me from out of town to go to a job interview. And so that right there made me, okay, let's address this. And I decided that I didn't want to pursue the relationship at that time, and I told him why. And I was like, this is the reason why, because I don't feel that you're very assertive, even in your own life.
What did he do with that?
He just thought about it for months and months, and then we have very little contact. We see each other at church, talk, but very little contact. And then out of the blue, he called me and wanted to come by, and I told him I was studying, and then he said, well, I have something I wanted to read to you. And he wrote me a poem and said he loved me in his poem. So I was like, okay.
Diane, that's really good news. I mean, that's why we're not ready to write him off. But if you have identified some kind of an inability that he has to be more assertive and to be less dependent and, you know, not afraid of making mistakes, and you've seen withdrawal in y'all's relationship and then kind of a nice gesture, that's a great start, but that's not what you want. So I think what I would do is I would tell him that this is a big deal and that you're not sure if you can continue until you know he's taking steps toward this. And then to begin to tell him you want him to get with some people that know how to do these things. Because these can really be dealt with, but there has to be what we're not seeing. Here's what we're not seeing. We're not seeing a systematic and structured approach that he needs to learn to grow in this area. If you see that, that's a good sign.
Let me send you boundaries face-to-face. Be good for you with the conversations you're having with him. But also, it is kind of an invitation to move out of a passive role mm-hmm. and do the next right thing and say the right thing that needs to be said. We'll send that to you. We'll take a break and come back for more New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I've had a weight problem my entire life. I learned to use food as something to comfort myself. Subconsciously, I was hoping for a magic wand. I had tried various things. I tried 12-step programs. None of those approaches were quite like what I heard at Lose It for Life.
You can lose weight and keep it off for life, but it involves more than just the latest fad diet or exercise machine. If the underlying emotional, spiritual, and physiological issues aren't addressed, the weight returns. The next Lose It for Life workshop is January 22nd through the 24th in Dallas, Texas. To find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
My whole mentality completely shifted. I wasn't so concerned anymore about what I weighed. I was more concerned with making healthy choices. It hasn't been the same since.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Hartman here, Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Karen from New York, WWDJ. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to New Life Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your show. My thing is, I mean, I have so much stories. I wish I can just talk for a long time. But I just want to know if my husband loves me. The thing is, we get into too many arguments, and then sometimes it's okay, and then the next couple of weeks it's the argument, and it's because a lot of times I don't want to have sex. And when I don't, when I tell him no, I don't want to, then his whole attitude changes. He seems like he gets angry after we don't do it for a long time, and I feel like he only loves me if I only do that. I mean, things are all okay in the house. It runs okay in the house if I do that.
Hmm. And that makes you feel, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel like I mean, like used or something. I don't know.
Karen, what's the difference in you guys? I don't know how you'd say it. Frequency needs or whatever. Like, how far apart are you two?
Well, it's like I don't want to do it at all, and he wants to do it.
Now, do you see that that could be a little bit of a problem?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we? I guess I'm concerned. Why aren't you calling saying I've got a problem that I don't have sexual desire, and I see that as a real big problem in my marriage versus I want to know if my husband loves me. That seems to, if you solve that, you solve some other things. Why aren't you asking that question?
Well, maybe I don't see it like it's a problem with me. I feel like it's a problem with me not loving him.
Let me understand.
But
this.
It's like
Karen, hold on a sec. Are you saying that your lack of desire is because you don't love him?
Yes.
Well, now that's a different reason to make the call.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with he doesn't love me. Then we found out you don't like sex, and now we found out you don't love him. Karen, we're kind of getting to the bottom of this deal here.
The thing is,
we're not only
like,
going through the back door; we're having to go through the doggy door.
I feel like he shows like sometimes like he shows like he cares for me, and I don't want to, you know, when someone loves you, I don't want to kind of like deny it. To me, I don't want.
No, wait. I need to get the facts straight here, Karen. If you felt like your husband loved you and you felt close to him and you felt warm with him, would you have sexual desire, or do you just not have that?
I don't have it.
All right.
And how old are you, Karen?
You keep kind of like going back to him and kind of pointing at him, but I want you to. I'm wondering why you don't think that's a problem, because God made marriage the place for that. Why don't you see that as an issue? You seem to be accepting that way too quickly.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Are you not curious about it at all?
Yes, I am.
Do you know anything? In other words, do you know why that might be? Has something happened to you?
Maybe it's the relationship. Maybe.
Like you had lots of sexual desire before you met him?
Kind of. Yes, I did.
How old are you, Karen?
40.
40. You know, number one thing would be to go see your physician.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that your sex drive is dead.
Right.
And ask him to do some blood work on you and see if there's anything that comes out from that that could be changed with, you know, some kind of medication or whatever. That'd be the first thing I would do.
Okay.
The second thing, and even if your marriage doesn't get better, if you discover something there, you're going to feel better. But the second thing is, you got your marriage is on life support,
right?
But not much. And I would get in to see a counselor about all of the things that you're talking about. Him not being sensitive to you, you not feeling any feelings of love toward him,
right?
All of that.
Still there, Karen?
Somehow, some way, she looks like she hung up. She hung up on herself.
Okay.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Karen, if you're listening, what it looks like is that it's like Steve was saying, there's not one problem here of a husband doesn't love me. There are two problems here. One, you really need to take a look at the desire issue, because that's a design by God for marriage. If there's nothing there, there's something wrong. But secondly, that if he's kind of withdrawing when he doesn't get gratification, then that's his end of things, and that's very, very, very helpable when a man learns how to be patient and how to love consistently and warmly, even when the sexual frequency isn't what it needs to be. Sometimes that even helps the sexual frequency. So, yeah, there's two issues. These aren't hard things. They can be dealt with.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, marriages kind of drift apart sometimes. If you can see that the drift has occurred, get into the counseling with somebody who's pulled marriages back together.
Or just a small group where where the patient's on the operating table and you're looking at the patient. But if the drifting is a good way to look at that, Steve, if you're never doing that and you're thinking, because we don't have a crisis, we don't need to be scrutinizing in the light of God, you're going to have a problem later. Yep. Get scrutinized today.
If you are interested in a resource like 10 Building Blocks for a Happy Family, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, reminding you of the Every Man's Battle Workshop and then the Every Woman's Battle Workshop. If you are male or female struggling with sexual or emotional integrity, and you really want to pull this together so that your marriage is not dead or dies or divorced, whatever, because when we get two people working, we can make something happen there.
I just sent somebody to the one in Santa Ana. It's these things get such good reviews, and I get such good feedback from these two.
So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. They're based on the book series Every Man's Battle, Every Woman's Battle, the new book Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to talk to you. Let's go to Julie. She's calling from Carmel, Indiana. WQME is the station. Is it Carmel or Carmel? How do you pronounce it?
It's Carmel.
Carmel, okay.
Uh-huh. How are you today? Thank you for taking my call.
We're okay, Julie. Glad you called us.
I'm having problems getting over a relationship. He broke up with me about 5.5-6 months ago, and we were in the relationship for about a year. We were talking marriage. It was getting very serious. I was getting close with his daughter. And just kind of, I know it's for the best. I'm glad I'm not with him anymore because he's kind of shown his true colors.
What are those true colors?
Give us
a swatch of the color.
He has an anger issue with his ex, and it kind of came to a huge head last spring. And he's in some legal difficulty with that.
He hit her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
so
you are just feeling bad that you're not going to be able to move forward with him.
Yes, because I really felt before all this happened that there was a connection between mm-hmm. us. I'm older, and he was really my first relationship that, had some future.
Mm.
And it's just really been emotionally difficult for me to move on, even though I know it's the best thing.
Sure. Yeah.
And I want to move on. I mean, I want to find a
Julie,
man
what,
that...
What are the signs that you're not moving on? What are you experiencing that let you know you're not doing that?
I just keep thinking of all the good memories of us together and things that we did.
Okay.
It's just haunting me.
Yeah, he's still there inside. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's your question?
Mm-hmm. My question is, how do I get over him? How do I finally, get him out of my life and be able to go on to a healthy relationship with someone else?
What do you know about the grief process, Julie?
Grieving process? I've never had to really go through it before.
Oh, my goodness. I want your life.
Well, she says it's your first relationship.
Yeah,
there's other things. There's pets and careers and health and the sadness of the world and movies that you can't see.
Right. You come to a realization that it's not going to be anymore. And I think I have grieved. And
No. I'm really asking a bigger question because this answers your question. Have you literally, besides love and dating and marriage, have you just never had to grieve anything?
Oh, no, I've lost grandparents. I've lost pets.
Okay.
I've been blessed enough to have my parents, but yes, I have grieved.
Okay, what do you know?
Because I haven't had to grieve personally over a personal relationship with me and a man.
Okay. Well, what happens a lot of times, Julie, is that the reason we can't let go of someone if we're in a situation that you're in could be because there has been a lot at stake. Your desires are good desires. You would like to be married. Mm-hmm. And the thought that, you've lost more time often impedes the grief process.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
Which means you can't let go because something that he symbolizes is something you're not ready to say goodbye to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be important to look at what he brought to you. I don't know if it was, structure or if it was he's interesting or he's compassionate or he validated your feelings or he was strong or vulnerable or, whatever those things were. And go ahead and value those things and be glad that you experienced those with him. And then look for other sources of those things. And here's the key, Julie, in a non-romantic setting.
Okay.
Because he still owns you. And you can tell that because, he still has your feelings.
He still has my heart.
Right. And so he will have your heart until your heart is taken in non-romantic places to where those needs are being met in other sources, which frees you then up to find love another way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you discover that a man is deeply flawed, which I would say a man that's hitting his ex, getting in trouble with the law, there's a deeply flawed man. But sometimes you find out that, it's obvious that he isn't right for you, that it's harder to grieve the loss of the happy ending than it is the loss of the man. And
exactly.
So while you might think you've truly grieved him, maybe you haven't truly grieved the loss of the happy ending, where it all works out. He comes back, it all gets fixed. And that, I think, is just one hard thing to grieve. The tunnel is very dark and long to grieve the loss of the happy ending.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he was to me. He was, he used to call himself the Great White Hope because he, was the man that fell in love with me and I fell in love with him after, all this time that,
Julie,
no one really showed interest.
Yeah, Julie, in the future,
Any
man that would call himself the Great White Hope might be someone.
That was my thought exactly,
Great Yellow Flag.
Yeah.
Julia, well, he did it in jest,
Well,
now I see that he didn't so much.
The Bible says, "Let another's lips praise you, and not your own."
Yeah,
and so
very self-centered. Yeah,
and so I'm thinking that you need to do some reworking of what's important inside yourself, and to let go. And again, you don't grieve somebody until you really appreciate and like those things that they did bring to the table, but. You're going to have to let go of that dream you had with him, and that can only come in the context of community. Grief only happens in the context of community. So you're going to need to go through a process with some other people of the dreams that you had with this man and how to get security, love, and all those things in other places, and then God reworks the wiring.
Yeah.
You need to be free of this.
And a guy that's the Great White Hope in his own mind, who is actually the mean woman slapping
angry boy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to focus on how wonderful it is that God protected you from that man.
Yes. I mean, my faith has become stronger because of that.
That's good.
Because I don't want to be with him anymore. You know, right. I don't want to be married to him. It's just he was what I thought what you know God had put there for
me. Name the one thing that he brought that you didn't possess.
First thing comes to mind is that he, I thought he loved me for me, and that's what I'd been looking for so long.
All right, stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, even if he's the greatest guy in the world, that's a horrible reason to fall in love with somebody. Mm. Horrible.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Because it's all fake.
It's what?
It's all fake.
No. It's a great thing. No. Okay. But you're getting it in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unloved for yourself, and the first person that comes along is a date who loves you for yourself, you're in trouble. You're owned by someone else. God intended the community and his love to be filling you up so that whatever performance things or I'm not loved things or I'm not accepted things that you're going through, they need to be met in the non-romantic sphere. So then when this guy comes along and loves you for yourself, then what the response is, well, that's nice. You know, I've got a lot of the other friends that love me for myself. I've got a good friend. And in his childhood, he had this experience, and so he said he wasn't going to do this to his daughter. He wasn't going to let her feel like Julie feels. So, like, she's grown now, but in her young years, he would, like, you know, take her out for Valentine's Day, kind of like what you do with Madeline. And he'd open doors for her and bring her flowers and take her to dinner so that she knew how a man should treat her,
right,
so that she was unconditionally loved by her dad. So when she started meeting guys, the ones that would say, I'm your great white hope, she'd kind of go, well, I've already got that. What else do you have?
my great white hope would open the door for me. She might be thinking in her head. So,
right.
So shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be in an unloved state and then look for romantic love. It's just horrible.
Let me send you my book, Finding Mr. White Hope. Finding Mr. Right is the name of that book. I'll send that to you. All of our resources, all of the boundaries books, including...
It's more of a great white shark.
Yeah, great white shark. Avoid that, man. All of the Boundaries books, the Every Man, Every Woman's Battle books are all at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We've got some great Bible products that make great gifts. When you purchase things from us, it supports this ministry. The Young Believer Bible is there along with the devotional, all those things. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's where we want you to do some Christmas shopping. Maybe you could even do it today. Let's go to Cindy, who's calling from Fort Worth. KWRD is the station. Cindy, how you doing?
Hi, wonderful. I am so happy to get through. I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
And I've had a wonderful teaching career, but I had 2 years at a school where I did not have a wonderful time.
Hmm.
And I'm a pretty normal teacher, you know, kind of have all my little ducks in a row and that type of thing. And I was in an environment where it was pretty loosey-goosey and different. And
Hold on. We're going to talk about that loosey-goosey place right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. We're talking to Cindy, and she ended up a couple of years teaching in a loosey-goosey place. And what happened when you taught there, Cindy?
I made a good friend of the principal's angry the first week of school. And I just didn't know she was a good friend. I just thought she was a teacher like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They spent weekends together and went on trips. And I just kind of got my foot, got off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, so you had a rough couple years.
So I messed up. And this principal, even 2 years later, was asked to leave because she really did have some problems, and a lot of teachers left. And she let a lot of teachers go, but she let me go, asked me to resign. And being a person
That's a big thing, Cindy.
It's a very big thing for teachers.
What was the charge?
It's very rare.
What was the charge?
No charge. I just wasn't a good match.
Mm.
And honestly, I had good appraisals, good evaluations. It literally was... We weren't a good match.
We meaning you and her.
Right. Me in that environment.
Okay, so you were willing to just go move on.
Did you quit?
Not fight it or anything.
Did you resign?
Yes, I resigned. I was horribly embarrassed.
Oh, okay.
And I later found out there were several of us asked to resign, and mm-hmm. I found out other people had been asked the year before, and then, you know, honestly, 2 years later, she was asked to resign because there was so much turnover. Mm. But anyway, the point is, I had trouble, and there was an assistant principal who was there who backed everything she did. And this woman has now joined my church. And I find, this is 5 years ago, and I find now that I'm uncomfortable going to church, seeing the assistant principal there who is well-respected, who is now leading that school, doing a fantastic job. But I know that, I just know that she thinks poorly of me, and she doesn't know the whole story and everything that happened. And I just don't know how to forgive myself for the mistakes I made in reading the situation.
Why haven't you just called her up and said, I'd like to
air this out,
to talk to you and share some things with you now that you're going to the church I go to?
I guess because I think she would think I was a real idiot that 5 years later I'm even worried about it. I'm embarrassed.
That might be possible. And it also might be possible that she would say, you know, I totally understand what you were going through, or give you a perspective that she had wanted to share with you. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Cindy.
That's possible.
Cindy, have you ever noticed a tendency in yourself to kind of take the second step on what you think somebody might say to you and then not do something because of your thought that they might say this if you do that without checking with them?
Sure. Yes. You're reading me pretty good.
Well, that could be a problem. I mean... go ahead.
I guess I know that I made some mistakes there. Hurting children,
Cindy,
that.
That has nothing to do with the issue. I've made some mistakes means I've got a belly button. So write that part off.
Okay.
I would venture to say that you have kind of what the Bible calls a harsh conscience.
I'm very hard on myself.
Right, and you can tell that, and I can hear it in your voice. And so when you have some kind of offense, you've done something wrong, you've admitted you have, it may be a misdemeanor, but your conscience turns it into a felony. And all sins are not the same. I mean, all mistakes are not the same. There are matters of weightier matters and matters of less gravity. But you have a part of yourself that for some reason really, really beats you up. And then I think it does something worse. Then it goes outside and says, and everybody else is going to feel the same way I do towards myself. She's going to think I'm a fool. I waited all these 5 years, and what am I doing, overreacting? And you do this self-judgment, and then you put it on other people and feel that they're going to judge you like you do yourself.
But I feel like they kind of already did, because she agreed with letting me go.
But you know what? That was a long time ago.
And maybe it was a judgment error. But, you know, the whole process of growth, and if she's a spiritual person and she's been in a church for 5 years, well, the whole
idea... I have no idea how long she's
been
a Christian.
But my point is time has passed. And there's just nothing wrong with saying, you know, that was a really hard time for me, and I'm sure you... We're in the same church now. I'd like to work this out and just see if there's any kind of hard feelings between us.
Yeah. And, you know, you may even have to humble yourself to say it this way. I need some help with what happened 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It still haunts me to this day. And now that you're going to this church, you might be able to help me resolve some of the issues from
that
time.
That's a great thought. Hey, Cindy, look at it this way. What do you need from this woman to make it better for you to be in the same church? What would you like from her to make this work out?
I would like her to not think of me as a bad person.
That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that.
And, you know, just knowing how tough you are in yourself, I would imagine she probably does think that you're a really good person, and that whatever horrible thing you think you did and the impact probably wasn't nearly the magnitude that you thought. That usually is the way it is.
Oh, I know I didn't do anything horrible.
Okay,
I mean, I know that. It was little stuff.
Let's give her a chance.
Like good social IQ.
Let's give her a chance to respond.
Cindy, on a sidebar, I would like for you to do some exploring on an inability to experience grace. And this is a Cindy thing. And to the extent that you learn and experience grace, these issues will begin to resolve.
Yeah. So let me send you Boundaries Face to Face. Here's an example of where that book can help you have that conversation that really might set you free from this. And I hope that it will. And, you know, so many of us have those conversations that we need to have or we put off. And Boundaries Face to Face, a great resource for that. Also, another great resource, 10 Building Blocks for a Happy Family. That's our resource. Gary Chapman, the author of The Five Love Languages, wrote the introduction to this. I think you'll like it. It's got all sorts of things like the power of being there. And Lose It for Life is coming up. And if you have heard the testimonies of those who've come to Lose It for Life in the past and said, I sure wish I had gone, there's your chance. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And let us sign you up for the Lose It for Life Institute. We can also sign you up for the Every Woman's Battle Workshop, Every Man's Battle Workshop, the Alaska Cruise. I hope that something that we've said to you has meant something. I hope that if you are considering supporting a ministry here toward the end of the year, that you'll think about what we're trying to do with people and that you might consider our ministry worthy of your gift.
It's a good time to get on the team. Lots happening right now.
And as most of you know, there's no greater time of need, or people don't reach out at any other time as much as they do during this time of the year. And we really do need your support. And as I said earlier, November was a tough month for us. So if you can come through for us, we will send you The Promise of the Second Wind, Bill Butterworth's book. That is our gift to you. If you need some help getting through the holidays, we've got the 10 tips, 10 ways to beat the holiday blues. We've got a lot of resources for you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or at newlife.com. Call us, and we really need you. If you've never been a giver, if you've never joined the New Life Giving Family, we need you to respond this month, if at all possible, if God's leading you that way. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. We'll see you here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.